my dear friend. Hello, hello to people at home. Long time didn't talk to you. Hello to people that are here. We had Passover. We've been away. So it was so many amazing, amazing things that happened, you know, since Passover. And we know the energy shifting. Sunday, the energy shifted because, not just because of Rosh Chodesh, which we in the beginning of the month of Iyar, the beginning of the month of Taurus, but a lot of things in the planet shifting. Mercury is no longer in retrograde. I'm sure you're happy about it. So things are more clear, and you're going to feel the energy becoming lighter, even if it is the Omer, even if it is the next 30 days. In the next 30 days, just want to give you a message. You want to be creative. You want to be aggressive. You want to make sure that you are pushing it. Nothing going to come to you as a gift. You take it if you want it. You don't take it, it's going to go away from you. Whatever it is, money, relationship, health, you want to make it happen, make it happen. Nobody going to make it happen for you. That's the Omer like. So people who are very aggressive and active, the Omer served them well. People who are very much waiting for the train might come, but it will be in a different city. So you better find out what's going on, because you got to chase the opportunity. This is this month. And from this point on, till at least Rosh Hashanah is aggressive, very aggressive energy. And those of us who have fire in your chart, if you know astrology, will enjoy it very much. Those of us who have too much earth in the chart might feel pushy. You know, so you got to ride on it, ride on it. Don't let it just go away, slip away, because this is it, this is the time. Now, about the month of Taurus, usually, as it's written in the book of Kabbalah, it's written that usually today become what we call the stomach cleansing, because the stomach, the keva, stomach is ruler by Venus by now, by this time. So that means if you feel discomfort a little bit in the stomach, it's ipush anefesh, meaning the Kabbalists explain that it removes any type of poison you have in your body out. Some of us will feel it in the stomach, some of us will feel it also in the ligament or the muscle. So you have to be ready.
The month of Taurus is cleansing.
Cleansing. It's removing poison from your body. So don't fight it. It's actually helping you to remove some poison, and it's great news. Great news. But if you fight it, it becomes against you because it want to go away, and you don't want to let it go away. So become flexible. Don't become like earth sign. Become like air sign, you know, like Libra, like Gemini, like Aquarius. Become like, let it go.
Aquarius,
you know, it's okay.
Air sign.
Yeah, air.
You say
air.
Be air, don't be earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Be air.
Yeah.
He's an Aquarius, he'll be fine.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he just want to hear about himself. That's why he asked.
No.
Of course not. No. Coincidentally, though. Anyway, so the portion of the week is actually Metzorah in Israel. It is Tazria Metzorah in United States. So what's going on? Why is it like that? Because if you follow the Jewish tradition, you will find out that because Passover have 8 days, why it's have 8 days? Because when you leave outside of Israel, you celebrate 2 times Seder and 2 times the 7 day. So it's like the 8 days. The 8 days this year fell on Shabbat. If it's fell on Shabbat, instead of reading the reading of the Shabbat, you're reading the reading of Passover 8 days. So that's why it doesn't match. This Shabbat is very unique because the synagogue in Israel and the synagogue here meet each other. All right? So just to let you know, it's good for your knowledge, because if you have a friend or go to other places, they may ask you why it doesn't fit. You know, we are doing always by Israel. We go always by Israel, so we never change. So everything is by Israel. We never do the reading based on what's going on in the United States. Because sometimes if a person have a bar mitzvah and he live here, so he already heard he didn't hear the portion, and then he have to hear the portion again. He go to Israel, he come back to America, he hear the portion again. But just I want to make sure why we have the sign Tazria Metzorah, which is not my style, it's Metzorah. A different reason, I have a special section from Tazria that I want to read to you. It's a section from verse 85. But before we go there, these two parashot mostly talking about disease, different type of disease. Most of the disease they talk about is leprosy. The Tazria talk about leprosy of the body, and The Betzorah talk also about leprosy of the house. When you buy a piece of real estate, sometimes the real estate is nagua. The real estate has a disease. And when you buy it, it's actually contagious. It's actually affecting the people who are living there. What caused it? What happened? There is a lot of reason for those things. And you need to study about it, okay? You need to study where is our power come from. So we're going to start with 85 in Tazria. S'il vous plaît. Let's read.
The Torah therefore proclaims, saying, keep your tongue from evil. And he who guards his mouth and his tongue, since if his lips and tongue speak evil things, these things rise up. And when they do, everybody declares, be gone from the proximity of the evil speech of so-and-so. Give way to the path of the harsh serpent. The holy neshama is then removed from him. It is gone and cannot speak. As it says, I was dumb with silence, I held my peace, and had no comfort.
So it's very important that you, I mean, of course, in the Zohar, there is something called the simple side of the Zohar, and of course, there is the secret side of the Zohar. The words you have to be related there is the snake. Why are they bringing the snake into that section? Because the snake, of course, you know the answer, because the snake was the first person, or the first creature to speak evil. If you look at the beginning of Genesis, before it was the snake, nobody spoke evil. What was the evil speech of the snake? When the snake said, even God know that the tree kind of is good for you, he's telling you not to eat it. So he spoke Lashon Hara on God. He spoke evil tongue on God. And the idea is teaching us that every time that you speak bad about another human being, and we all do that, we all sin, and that some more, some less. Of course, we have to work on that. Today, we're going to study how to do it and what to do. We have to be careful because speaking bad is not about manners. Most people stop speaking bad because it's not nice. Because it's not nice to speak bad. It's not nice to gossip. Not nice to speak bad. But that's not the reason why we want to stop speaking bad. The real reason why we want to stop speaking bad is more because it relates to the snake. It relates to the evil tongue of the snake. And the second reason, because it's elevating us all the way to the upper level. And what happened in the upper level, we connect to the original snake, and we also create void and negative energy in the upper level that eventually will attack us back. So it's dangerous. It's dangerous for us. When people stop speaking evil because they think it's not nice, eventually they will not last. They will speak evil the next day. But when you stop doing it because it's actually bad for you, you are more related to it because you have an understanding. And that's what the Zohar starts with that. And let's see what happened to the soul after we speak bad. It's very important we understand it. 86, please.
That neshama rises in contempt, in trouble of every kind. It is not given place as before. Of this it is written, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Surely his nefesh, who used to speak, is not silent because of the evil words it uttered. Then the serpent comes, since everything returned to its place, its original state, as before he attained a neshama. When the evil speech rises through certain paths and rests before the harsh serpent, many spirits are stirred in the world, and defiled spirit descends from that side of the serpent, and finds the man who roused it through evil speech, and the speaking spirits removed from him. The defiled spirit defiles him, and he then becomes a leper.
So a leper is not necessarily the skin disease only. A leper is a leper before it appears on the skin. Because a lot of people think, oh, he has leprosy, he spoke bad. No, the leper is not always something that you can see. It's more a leper of the soul. Okay, so it's very, very important. So it's the idea here, it's almost scary. The evil speech, why such a big deal? I mean, after all, you go to a party. What are you going to do? You go to vacation. What are you going to do? What are you going to do all day long? Speak good about people? How much can you speak? It's boring. So why is it such a big deal? Because if you look at human being, our power is in the mouth. This is your power. You don't have any other power, by the way. You have eyes, you have ears, everything is wonderful. But the creature called human being, called by Kabbalists, there is a name, a nickname for a human, Medaber. Medaber. That's how they call us. They don't call us human, by the way. The Kabbalists call us medaber. Medaber means the one who speak, the one who talk. So our ability to talk, this is our power. When a person is using that gift that God gave him, automatically, when he speak bad, the snake join him. The serpent from the Garden of Eden join him. And when the serpent, when the snake joining him, then he bring with him all the other negative spirit to join him. And then they make him impure, and they use him to do more negative things for them. He start working for them in a way. And that's what make a leper. In the Talmud, I think it's in a section called Brachot, there is a section about Elisha the prophet come to visit the physical universe. And it's a very interesting section, because they talk about Elisha the prophet, you know, passing by a guy who's supposed to be a very holy person, and he put things on his face. He said, I can't smell him. He stink. And the rabbi was walking with Elisha the prophet, say, this guy is a teacher. He's a famous. He said, I can smell. And he go to the other side. The other side, there is a guy who work, you know, like in a cesspool, you know, cleaning everything. And Elisha the prophet standing there. And the rabbi asked him, this guy is like, I don't smell it. So then Elisha, Eliyahu Navi, explained to him that he doesn't smell the physical part. He smells the spiritual part of the soul. The soul has a smell too, not just the body. But of course you have to be highly elevated that you can smell the soul. You know, there's some people who use different type of things that they can smell people actually from distance. People swear to me that they took all kind of things that they actually can smell, even sound. Can you imagine? They went to that festivals, that there is music festivals, and they told me they can smell the sound. So you cannot smell a sound.
They were on something.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it. Yeah, they were on something, exactly. But they can smell the sound. I said, nobody can smell a sound. I said, I smell a sound. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, I did smell the sound, and I smelled the people. And they tell me I knew who was like clean. This, they even described this when it was the thing on the flower, you know, it smelled like honey. The
nectar.
Yeah, the nectar. And the one who this smell, I don't want to say what they say, they smell different, okay? And it's so every time I'm reading that part, I say, wow, maybe it is true that actually you can smell people, not just on a physical level. And the idea is when we speak negative, the ability to stop is very important. If you're capable of stopping as you start, don't be afraid to look stupid, because the sound in your ears will tell you, you look dumb. Don't stop. Continue to talk. Continue to speak evil. Don't continue. Just understand that this is, you start, you can back off. It's not a problem. So look what the next part, which, where are we? 87. Yeah. Here we go.
Just as punishment is inflicted on man because of evil speech, so is he punished because he could have pronounced good words but did not. For he blemished that speaking spirit which is composed so as to speak above and speak below, and everything is in holiness. It is even more true if the nation walks the crooked path and he can still talk to them and reprove them, yet he is silent and does not speak. As I said, it is said of him, I was dumb with silence, I held my peace and had no comfort, and my pain was stirred up by plagues of impurity. This is why it is said that King David was plagued with leprosy, and the Holy One, blessed be he, turned away from him. As written that he asked, turn you to me and be gracious to me, which means he turned away from him. What is turn you to me? It resembles the word, and Aaron looked or turned. Just as the latter verse alludes to leprosy, so here it alludes to leprosy. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yossi alighted and kissed him. They went together all that way. Rabbi Chiya said of them, but the path of just men is like the gleam of sunlight that shines ever more brightly until the height of noonday.
So it's a shocking thing. I mean, if you have opportunity to speak good about someone, and you don't. Wow. We got a problem here. Forget when we speak bad. So a lot of time, I don't know if you find yourself sometimes shy or nervous or uncomfortable to speak good about someone that you think is good for them. And you use the excuse, I know a lot of people do that, they use the excuse, I'm not sure the people are ready. I hear people do that. And let's say if somebody somebody new need to join our group. So you see somebody and you want to tell them about, hey, why don't you join me? And there is something good going on in Vital or in Gian's house, and I think you want to join me. And you're nervous if to say it or not. Every chance that you ever thought to speak good and you don't, it's considered like you spoke bad. This is shocking. Second thing, when you see somebody on the wrong path and you not truly talk good to them to help them to come on the right path, it's the same equal as you spoke bad. But why? It say, "Ima am olech b'derakum," when the people go in a crooked way. V'hu yechol ledaber lahem, and he can speak to those people v'lochiach otam, and tell them this is wrong. And he doesn't, or she doesn't. V'shotek v'lo medaber, and he quiet and he doesn't talk to them. It's considered like lashon hara, it's considered like evil tongue. Wow, that's a shocking thing. So, I study something with my kids this Shabbat about a section in the Talmud. It's a very famous section in the Talmud. It's an argument, very famous argument, one of the most famous arguments, is between the president of the Israelite at that time. For the story, I can say his name, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that's his name. He buried in Pekin, those of you who have never been there. And he was the most famous teacher of all time. And he had 1,000 people come to study with him. One day, a person, simple guy, come to ask, is praying, the evening pray, is a must? Or you can skip it. His student of that famous rabbi say, you can skip it. The next morning, of course, everybody study, and the rumors are, that student say, you can skip it. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel tell them, stand. And you need to know, the rules are, maybe it's good for you to know, the rules are by the law. By the law is, you're not allowed to teach without asking permission from your teacher that you can teach. And if you teach in front of your teacher, the rules are to be stoned. They stone you to death. Just to make sure it's clear. No? Kind of, you should Google it. I mean, it's you can see all the rules. There is like the rules, like the old rules in the Bible. Scary.
In other words, if you're teaching and one of us interjects and is teaching without permission, that person could be
stoned. I permit it. Because I permit it, it's okay. It's called Mochel al Kvodo. There is rules on that too. Mochel al Kvodo. Let's say with my teacher, the Rav, the first time that he asked me to teach in front of him, he wanted to teach reincarnation. So he told me, Leo, it was a big crowd. I want you to teach it in front of me. So I go look at him and said to him, Rav, by the law, you know, I'm not allowed to teach in front of you. So he say, Ani Mochel. By the law, he has to say, I'm okay with it. So he said, I'm okay with it, then I was teaching it. And then I stop every time, look, should I continue? He said, please continue. Because this, I want to make sure everybody's okay there. You know, so those rules, again, apply in a certain condition, but it's not apply when you give a class. Everybody can interject. Why? Because we are now in a generation that it's very important that the knowledge will come faster to the people and people can interject. And we went down to a very low level, like 1,000 point down. And it doesn't matter how things work. So in our generation, as all the Kabbalists agree, it doesn't matter if the student disturb or interject. Just make sure you save another soul so we can do something about it. Because we are in a very tough time. So it's not a problem at all. Not a problem. But let's go back to the story. Rabbi Yoshua was standing, humiliating him, in front of all the other students who were standing. And all the other rabbis, the famous one, look at Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He's very famous. Nobody can say anything. But they know it's a little bit too rough, too tough for Rabbi Yoshua. He had to stand sometimes days, nights, you know, while everybody studied. It's very embarrassing. So they went and they, I want to say called, but they didn't call. They went to other famous Kabbalists and they said to him, we have a problem. I mean, I won't teach you how politics used to be even 2,000 years ago. So we have a problem. That's what he did to him. You know, he's right about what he did by the law, but it's not fair because the other rabbi is also famous. Rabbi Yehoshua, my God, very famous. So he said, the other old rabbi answered, well, only if you find somebody to replace Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I can go talk to him. If you have nobody to replace, what can happen? We can remove him, and then this old school will fall down. This, we have to do it right. So they found Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria, those of you who know from the Agada. He was very young. He was too young. He said to them, me replacing that giant? He was afraid. Everybody was afraid. Nobody would replace the rabbi. Nobody would replace the rabbi because it's a responsibility. So everybody stay away. In fact, today is the Yom Elula. It's the death anniversary of one of the greatest rabbi of all time from Ukraine. His name is Rabbi Menachem Mendel from Vitebsk. He's a rabbi that ran away from Ukraine to live in Tiberia because he didn't want to become a rabbi. He just ran away. He was afraid from politics. He ran away. So, again, going back to the story. So, they brought the other gentleman, and he suggests very strongly to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel to step down. And they brought the other young rabbi, but everybody laughed. This guy is young. And he talked to his wife. He said, honey, I'm young. I'm not fit for that job. My beard is black. Those people are all white and long white beard. He went to sleep, and in the morning, everything turned white. So they knew that God agreed with him. And that day, the head rabbi of the yeshiva started feeling pain because even of what seemed that he did wrong, he still was one of the greatest of all time, So he went and he apologized to Rabbi Yehoshua. He said, maybe I was too pushy, but I had to do it by the rules. And they make peace. Why am I telling you this story? Rabbi Yehoshua, who was this young student who asked him if to pray or not to pray? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. When he came to ask him, he said, do I need to pray the evening prayer? He said, yo, you don't. Why he say that? Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was such an elevated soul. If he pray one evening prayer, he will finish the tikkun for everybody. So God was not permitted. He said, Rabbi Shimon, you can't. You just can't. One prayer from you, you finish the whole tikkun. It's not right. It's not right. Let people have free will. Let people do the job. You cannot just come and do one prayer, gone. Everything is gone. Wait. So Rabbi Yehoshua was a messenger from God. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was right too, because everybody needed to do the evening prayer. Everybody was right. That's how the evil played with all of us. But the people, the style of how they went in a nice way to correct Rabbi Shimon with the respect to him, is very elevated, but still they have to tell him, listen, it's not right what you're doing. They had to go to another rabbi to do it right and to choose another guy. And in the end, everything went back to normal. Why am I telling you this? A lot of times students are worried how to do things, what to say, what not to say. But when they think like that, there is no God in the system. They forget that there is God. If you do it from the right place, God interfere. Don't worry about it. God will come and interfere and arrange things for you. Things will start working out. How? I can't tell you. I really can't tell you how it's working. I can't tell you. There is no formula that I can tell you this is how it's working. But I can tell you it's working. A lot of time, you want to put things in order. You want to have a schedule. God doesn't have a schedule. God doesn't have an order. Once you put things in order, in schedule, and everything like this perfect, there's no room for God. So all of you are following perfect procedure. Most probably, God is waiting for you to kind of loosen up a little bit. Okay? Loosen up. But if you go ahead and tell people, hey, this is wrong, what you did, and you worry about it, if you did it right or wrong, if you come from a place because it's good for them, don't worry about it. You did it, don't worry about it. It will arrange in a certain way. If you have ego by telling them, that's wrong. So if you see a teacher doing something wrong, it's okay, but take them aside. Hey, I think that went wrong. I think this needs to be correct, but that would be better, and so on and so on. But if you come from a place and you have a little happiness inside that you can tell the teacher what's wrong, don't even think to do it. Because it's not you, it's the snake using your mouth. Don't ever be happy when you go into somebody who is a teacher, who is a master, or somebody like this, to tell them. I remember, and last night, late, I talked to my wife. She asked me if I ever told the Rav a few things which is wrong. I said, yeah, 3 times. I even can count 3 times. With his permission, of course. With his permission, 3. So it was a specific time. And then one time, he gave me a kiss and a blessing after I told him that. Because he said something and said, absolutely wrong, not true. And I was fighting 20 minutes. And then he hugged me and said, thank you for fighting me. But the point is, I didn't care for being right. I cared for him to win. Because he had some doubts on himself. When he had doubts on himself, something he did, I proved it to him that he's wrong, that he shouldn't have doubts. So for that reason, you should fight. You know, your teacher and say, hey, you're going to make it, and I know you're going to make it. And I'm going to help, and no matter what. When you do it like that, then that's called Lashon HaTov. That's speaking good. There's Lashon HaRa, Lashon HaTov. When you're speaking bad, it's very bad. But when you have a chance to speak good and you forget about it, you can't do it. You can't do it. We have to understand that the only power you have is what's coming out. If this comes out of your mouth positive, you're going to do very well. The angel you create from that. The negative forces that you kill. While you're speaking good, you're killing negative forces. You have power here. But of course, you cannot, as Rabbi Chaim Vital and as Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutato both talk about, you cannot fool people. You cannot just speak sweet words with no, with no value. What? No real value behind it. You speak sweet, you have to be sweet, you know. You have a chance. And that's why the Talmud would say there is a law about that too. Are you allowed to say good things about people in front of them? The Talmud asked that question. The answer is not. You're not allowed. But you're allowed to say miktzato. Miktzato means a little bit. Less than 50% you're allowed to say. So on a birthday, for example, you have to think about 10 things and only say 5. Why? Because at that moment you speak good about them, they've been judged in heaven. They're opening the file and they look at all the negative things they did at that moment. Once you compliment someone, all the bad things they ever did has been opened. Bad news, right? Okay, so you need to know even how to say the good thing. So the good thing has to come from a place of to say it to somebody else. So let's say if my teacher wants to speak good about me, it will not be in front of me. But after I leave the room, you'll go and talk to everybody. Oh my God, that he yelled this, that he yelled this. I will walk into the room, empty, there's nothing going on. But that's a real, that's how it's supposed to be. That's value, that's power. You know? I just want to say, any question on
speaking? You're not supposed to compliment people?
You're supposed to compliment half of your capability. Half of your capability. But you cannot do more than the half because they've been judged. The Baal Shem Tov give a cue for that, actually. The Baal Shem Tov, right, when people compliment you, at that moment you have to think about all the sin you ever did. Because that moment you get clean. Because they check your book, your file, and they look to all the negative things you ever did since you were born. So at that moment they compliment you, you know that in heaven they're opening your file. So if you admit you did it in your mind and say thank you to them, oh, thank you so much, thank you, it was what, thank you. But in your mind, you meditate about cleaning all the negative things.
What if you're complimenting something, someone, or saying something good about someone in order to positively reinforce them?
That's good.
To be that.
It's a soft manipulation, but it's still good. It's a soft manipulation. Why do you want to do it? For them?
No.
So, it's a little bit for you. There is
for the greater good of everybody.
Yeah, but sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Yeah, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I mean, not all the time when you speak positive to people. I know we are living in a generation that we think that only positive words help. You know, the Zig Ziglar thing, the Tony Robbins, what else? Yeah, you know, you have to make a person, if person only here they're capable of doing everything, they will meet life at one point. And when they meet life at one point, it will be a disaster. So person need to hear positive, but need to hear a certain direction about what they do wrong so they can do better. You know, I told you a story about the lemon pie, what was it? Key lime pie that was served to 500 people. And nobody wants to say that the key lime pie, they forget to put sugar. Now, I need to tell you, key lime pie with no sugar, it's not just as bad, it's really bad. And so everybody wanted to respect me. It was 500 people in the room. And everybody thought it's kind of a spiritual thing, you know, to have sugar that night. So they respect it. Like that. So I eat a bite. What's that? So everybody kind of released because they realize it's not a spiritual thing. It's just bad cake. So I announced in the microphone, I say, people, do not eat this cake. So really? So yeah, really, it's bad cake. And because sometimes people want to say everything okay. Everything is positive. No, you have to sometimes, especially in L.A., those of you who live in Los Angeles for a long time understand that. In L.A., we're supposed to say positive about everything. We have to be a little bit fake. Otherwise, you will not be accepted into society in Los Angeles. In New York, they will just tell you, hey, this steak is burnt. I don't like it. Take it back. You know? Here, you have to look nice. You even, people choose the right vocabulary, the right words. Hey, I'm not sure the steak is right. What's not right about it? Well, not sure what's not right about it. Complain all the way already. Just say it. What you don't know, I'm not sure what I don't like about it. But I prefer a soup.
I'm sure it's me, it's not you.
Exactly. It's just very good to me. Something wrong with me. Exactly. In New York, this is test-like, you know. It used to be a restaurant in New York. Most of you don't know it. It's called Second Avenue in Delhi. I don't know if you ever know. Second Avenue in Delhi, it was on 12th Street and 2nd Avenue. I think they reopened it. In that restaurant, if you want to get abused, you actually go there. It's a fun thing. You get abused. It's open until 2:30 in the morning. And you go there, and the waiter's actually really not nice purposely. And some people, it's become an in thing in New York to go there and get it. People, I don't know why they have fun. My friend used to take me. So let's have fun. You go to the Rogalach. They say, what do you want Rogalach for? So I don't know. I want to, you know, Rogalach is like a little cookie. And it's kind of funny. When I speak about speaking good or speaking bad, every time you have a chance to speak good about somebody behind their back, speak good about somebody behind their back, it's a mitzvah. It's the most important thing to do. Every time. Speak good, stop. What can I say good about that person? Somebody mentioned somebody's name, speak good. Doesn't matter. Speak good. Speak good. Speak good. You know, it's very, very important. And when you do that, you're changing the universe. I tell you another rule about speaking. You've already talked about it. If you hear me saying something tonight from the Zohar, that's what I just teach you. You must, by the law of spiritual law, say who say it to you. You have to say, it's called Ha'omer Dvarim B'Shem Omram Mavi Geula La'olam. The law goes like this. If you say something in the name of the person who say it, you have a chance to bring the redemption closer. Just with the words. So you heard some Torah from someone and say, I heard it from a rabbi. We heard it from a rabbi. We heard it from that rabbi who say he heard it from that rabbi. You go all the way, as much as you can. That's our profan. But anyway, I don't want to be delaying the next chapter. Let's read chapter 14 from Metzora.
Come and behold, the Holy One.
It's a tough one. This one is a tough one, okay? I'm sorry.
The Holy One, blessed be He, grants pardons for all the sins of the world. Save the evil tongue, for this man speaks evil of another, as written. This shall be the Torah of the leper. That is, he speaks evil of his friend, since Metzora is spelled with the same letters as the word Motzira, spreads evil. Rabbi Chia said, if someone spreads an evil name, all his limbs become defiled, and he should be shut out.
I'm sorry.
For his evil speech rises aloft and calls down an unclean spirit on him, and he is defiled.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
He who intends to defile is defiled. By the deed below, another one is roused.
So it's very depressing.
All loving creator.
What?
He's an all loving creator.
But it's tough. But you understand, like, everything can be clean. Besides that, what happened? When a person speaks bad, a lot of times people think it's a manner thing. It's not about being kind or having manners. It's about the all organs of the body start to get sick. Everything starts to become weak. So we learn something tremendous from here. First lesson is to be healthy, you want to speak less. I think Eddie Murphy did a movie on words. I don't remember if it's called 1,000 Words. You saw this movie? Mm-hmm. Nobody? So it's called 1,000 Words, that he has a certain amount of words. When he finish them on the 40th day, he has to die. And by the way, it's written somewhere. It's not just invented. So you have a certain amount of words that you can talk. By the time you finish those words, you're gone. So I'm sure you knew it. You heard it before, right? I'm not the first one to tell you. Oh.
I talk all.
Oh, yeah. All right. No good. All right. I thought everybody knew it. I'm looking at the face. I said, I shouldn't say it before. Nobody ever heard it from me before? Nobody from other teacher? I'm sorry. Yes, spiritual words are okay. Exactly. You're allowed. Yeah, those are for free. If you speak spiritually, those are not count. But words. That's why Rabbi Isaac Luria, one of the things to become holy and become spiritual, he tried to be quiet. When he be quiet, he said, if there is something you don't know what to do, stay quiet. Quiet is the most powerful tool the human can have, which is very hard sometimes. But to be able not to speak, it's very powerful. Very powerful. But not to speak when you're home, when you're outside. You know, you don't want to add something to the table. Everybody says something smart. And if they don't ask you, just relax. It's okay. Once they ask, you say, I'm not sure I can add to this opinion anything. Okay? And those people, when you are in a crowd and you see people who are quiet, you always watch them because they have more power. They always have more power. Because those are the people that control themselves. There is one thing that you can control is your words. You cannot control what you see, what you smell, what you hear. You can't control. You only can control one thing in your body, what you're going to say. It's the one thing. Because once it's out, it's gone. It's not yours anymore. What you see, it's a vision. What you hear, it's sound. Smell. It's not under your control. But what you're going to say is in your domain. It's called personal domain. And after you say it, it's called a public domain. It no longer belongs to you. So you lost control over your words. So those words start going away, and it's gone. So it's written here. When we speak bad about another human being, and we make them look bad, the body of a person and the soul of a person, unfortunately, we need to put those people away. It used to be a city where they send them to, and they all have leprosy. They have the disease. But it's not about that skin disease. It's more than that. It was more about that they're sick internally. If it's just the outside, you know, you put the cream, you put something, it's gone. But we're talking about the internal. And that's why we send them to that city. What they're doing in that city, everybody look at each other. And they know all of us spoke bad about another person. And they start working on it. What is the solution for that? How can I speak good about another person? Can you find every day one person who can speak good about them? Great. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook count as well. It's not just speaking. You can write as well. But be careful, okay? Now, purification. We're going to go to verse 49. And then we see where is this taking us. Do you feel you can do some change about that? What's your feeling? It's difficult, huh? What's your feeling on that? Because we can restudy it. I mean, it's fun. But my energy feel your energy. And I feel like, you know, when a shooter give up the three-point shot before even shooting it. So, like, you want this lecture just to be over and say, oh, you know?
What if it's true what you're saying about that person, let's say, either organization or person?
What do you mean?
That it's negative, you know, but it's the truth.
Okay, so then you have to buy a book. There is rules on that. There's about 1,000 rules. And the book is called Chafetz Chaim. And in this book called Chafetz Chaim, they give you all the rules, what you're allowed, what you're not allowed. There's a whole book on that. What you're allowed, what you're not allowed. When you're allowed to speak bad, when you're not allowed to speak bad. There's rules on that. And I, for example, if somebody is a killer and is about somebody across the street from you, hire them to babysit. So you're allowed to go ahead and say, hey, killed 10 people last week. Do you have TV in the house? Say, no, I don't. That's why you hire him as a babysitter. I know two people that the babysitter that they had was a terrorist that 2 years later exploded in Jerusalem. Scary, very scary. I remember their face. They grew up, I mean, he and his girlfriend watch over them when they were not so young, like about 12, you know, 12 and 11 or 12 and 13. And then 3 or 4 years later, they saw their picture on TV, you know, that they killed themselves, you know. It's kind of weird. Then I asked them, they were good to you? Said they were very good to us. So sometimes you need to say, but there is rules on that. You got to learn to study those rules, you know. But I think without even studying, there was a lot of time we're finding ourselves having fun speaking. Because here it say the rules is, if the people are going on a crooked way, you have to tell them. You have to go directly to the person. And we are now in a generation, very difficult, especially in LA, to speak to the person and say, you're doing something wrong. We're all polite, you know. Not always does polite is a good thing, because you're polite to the person, and then you speak behind their back, you know. And I tell you rules that my teacher taught me. If somebody spoke to you about negative about another person, you're the next in line. They're going to speak bad about you the next week after that. When they speak bad, they speak bad. So it's never going to stop. It cannot stop because it's coming from the stink. So, and also when you go, let's say if you sell, you like to sell. That's your job. Your speech level go down when you speak bad. So the people who listen to you cannot hear you. Even if you tell them the truth, your words been damaged. Or let's say you're going on a date, they don't hear you because your words been damaged, so they don't understand what you're saying. So the ability of speech has been damaged for how we speak. So the cure, the number one cure first, can you speak good about one person a day? One person, find one person a day and talk good about them. And that's unbelievable. Once you train yourself to do that, it prevents you from talking negative because it feels good to speak good about people. And it's elevate you. You start feeling, wow. And it also gives you psychic ability. You start knowing the future. You start knowing what's going to happen. It's very powerful. So every day you can have opportunity. Oh, I found one person. Okay, let me speak about that person. That's why it's written that whoever speaks about righteous people, tells story about righteous people, it's almost like that is studying the highest level of Kabbalah. Why? Because you have a chance to speak good about the person. Now, I tell you a story. I was in Tel Aviv, so I was with my teacher. I was with the Rav in Tel Aviv, and I used to take him to the mikveh, a certain place, not far from Dizengoff, if you know Tel Aviv. So there's a little synagogue, and there's in the basement there is a mikveh, very small. So I'm taking him there, and all of a sudden there is an old man that fell on the floor, and it's, my job was to give my teacher the towels, and all of a sudden, my teacher said, close the door, bring his arm, hold him, put him on a bench. He wasn't breathing. So he touched his pulse here. I was touching here. He showed me what to do exactly. And the person, after about 25 seconds, started breathing again. So he looked at me and said to me, that was resurrection. When one point come in a certain time, I want you to tell that story. I didn't tell the story ever in public. I usually tell it to a few people. So by me saying that story, I'm awakening that power again. Okay? And that power starts shining on you. And then you pass it on and help people to know that there is hope for everybody. You know? The reason I start doing healing session for people, it's one of the things that started from a long time ago to do healing on people. I used to go with the Rav and do different healing on people with severe situation, and I don't enjoy doing that, but Debbie said to me, why don't you maybe once a day start helping people who need the help? So that's why I'm practicing and do that again. And the idea is, if you have a gift that you can speak good about people and you don't do it, it's a big problem. It's a big, big problem. Big problem. You know, big problem. And I always tell my wife, I said, challenge me with my worst enemy, even, if I cannot say one good thing about them, something is wrong. I know it about myself. You bring me the person who bothered me the most, and I said, okay, I have one story. And I will bring. All of you have to practice that. Whoever bothered you the most, find one good thing, You don't have to share it, but is it? And somebody asks you, is there is one good thing about that person? Bam, one, two, three, you say it. You know? It's impossible that you don't have something good to say. It cannot be always bad. There's always good. Find the good. Find the good. Find the good. There's no such a thing that you met person who only have bad. Cannot. Every human being on earth has good and bad in them. And it's only shell. It's like onion. And sometimes the negative is outside and the positive is inside. Sometimes the positive is outside and the negative is inside. You have different type of people. So when a lot of times we meet people who are negative, most probably the positive is inside. Why people are negative? Because they're rough, they're tough, they're honest. So nobody likes them. But that's come from a good place because they really want to tell the truth. It just come wrong. All right, let's study more. It's a presentation. The presentation has to be right. If the presentation is bad, then you got a problem. You know, that's why it's written by the law that you're not allowed to say positive thing about person to a person who hate that person.
No, you don't know.
Yeah, it's always positive. I said if you test me, and I need to speak about each and every one of you, somebody who never met you, I will describe who you are, what you do, what's great about you, they want to meet you right away. They want to meet you. You know? If I would be on your side of the student, I would bring Eliyahu every day 10 people. But I'm not on the student side. Anyway, 49, let's read.
Rabbi Elazar said, here I must say something that I've learned from my father. Come and behold.
You see that? Right away. Speak about his father. See? Boom.
See what we learned here in relation to the plague in the house. When the unclean spirit rests upon a house and the Holy One, blessed be He, wants to purify that house, He sends a plague of leprosy there in order to make them denounce each other. The spirit of the plague fights that one of the uncleanliness. Although the unclean spirit is gone from the house, that plague does not depart from the house after overpowering the spirit of defilement, until the house is shattered, stones, timbers, and all. Only then is the place purified.
And when I read it today, I was so excited. And I remember I told you that there's a section today that I read, and I was so happy. I was so happy. But usually when I get happy about the section in the Zohar, I get nervous, so I go and check it, Debbie. I said, Debbie, is this as clear as I'm excited about, or is it just me getting excited? What do you think? What excites me about this section? I'll let you find out. It's truly exciting.
I can say what I'm excited about.
What?
That you can tear it down and start over.
Okay, that's practicality. But what's the chidush? What's the new thing about it? There's something new about what the Zohar said here. Something new. Something amazing.
The negativity fights each other.
Very nice, yeah. But what is the lesson for our life? Here's a lesson for you and me. What is going on in our life? Yeah, that's in the end. In the end, you destroy everything, yes. That's why when they went to Israel, they destroyed all the home of the Canaan, and then they built new. Yeah.
Who does he want to make denounce each other?
What do you mean?
Well, what is that? My question is, it says he sends a plague of leprosy there in order to make them denounce each other. Who is denouncing who?
Exactly. Very good. That's a point, like she was saying. So we learned that there is two forces. One that appear to the eyes, and one that's not appear to the eyes. And that's why I'm super excited about. It say, there is nega babait. Nega mean disease in the house. So what do you do? What do you do if there is disease in the house? Can you see it? No, you can't. So what happened? God wants to purify this house. So God sent now additional negativity. The additional negative called tzara'at. Tzara'at means leprosy of the house. The leprosy of the house seemed to the eyes. Now that leprosy, fighting the nega. The nega was the disease that you can see. The leprosy is a disease that you can't see. Can't and can. The one that you can see, beat up. The one that you cannot see. You follow it there? אחר שנתגבר על רוח חתומה. Now the leprosy, beat up, worn, there, impure system. Now what happened? The house have leprosy now. What left to be doing? Destroy that wall or that house and rebuild it again. Why am I so excited about it? Sometimes people go into some tough time. But they don't believe that that tough time is way better than what happened before. Because what happened before in their body, in their soul, was a disaster. They wouldn't change if that disease or tough time wouldn't happen. They wouldn't change. They would stay the same. So they have to go to the worst time of their life to realize that there is actually an impure system inside their system. Their body, their soul, their family, their society. So something has to go so bad for them to see it. Because the problem that we have, we don't see it, the problem. How can you see the problem? We get used to the problem. Not only we get used to, we start loving the problem. Take an addict and tell them that their addiction is the problem, they will kill you. What are you talking about? You are the problem. Not my addiction. You are the problem. Right? I mean, if you talk to me, let's say, 10 years ago, and I have a cake in front of me, and you try to educate me about nutrition, I will call you judgmental and evil. If you talk to me about vegan 10 years ago, I will call you an idiot. Another lecture about vegan food? Who is this guy? Come talk to me about eating right. If you see me eating a sunny side down, the amount of eggs I'm eating, and the way I'm eating it, and you tell me, Elio, I think it's better with coconut oil. Coconut oil would stay away from me. You have to deep fry it. Then put it on challah bread, and then you eat it right. And make sure that the yellow go all over. I remember the first day that a good human being, God bless, decided, and I attack him so bad, to tell me about, what was it, a white omelet? It's a
egg white
with spinach and zucchini. And I remember I said, Lee, I want to talk to you. Talk to me about what? A bit about the food, you know. Try to imagine being 65 pounds more. So he put it and said, you want to try it? I don't like it. And I give him all the spiritual lecture. I said, listen, everything is a yin and yang. This egg doesn't look young to me. It looks ink. It's missing the yellow. That's something not, I came up with the whole theory. Because the disease is not being seen to the eyes. I couldn't see what my mom gave me love through food. So I thought food equal love. Love equal food. When I eat sweet, I'm happy. When I eat celery, I'm miserable, you know? But then you clean your body a little bit. I remember that gentleman, God bless him, took me to, you know what a Thai massage is? Mm-hmm. If you don't really, don't go. Yeah, Thai massage sounds like very inviting. Mm-hmm. But basically, they take your body into a pretzel. It's one of them. Oh, you know? And they take your knee. No, just to let you know, the lady who worked on me fell from that. I was that big. She wanted to put all my, I said, I can't do it. She held two things, and she walked on my neck with her feet. I said, I don't think this is right. The poison came out of my body that day. The gentleman who came with me, thank God he was patient. He said, Leo, let's try something. I said, I don't want to try anything. And thank God, you know, for God, and thank God for the miracle, and thank God for all the problem happened in my life. Because if I wouldn't end up in an emergency room, and I thought that something wrong with the pills, with my body, with different thing. And it was Israeli doctor, professor, actually, he was the professor of the hospital. And thank God he was happened to be Israeli. And I said, I don't know what's wrong with him. It's the blood pressure. I think it's this. And he was very kind. Everybody left the room. And he closed the door. He said to me, listen, I'm a professor. I deal with people all day long. And he said, I'm from Haifa. He said to me, I speak Hebrew. I said, wow, you're English as well. We started a conversation. So would you listen to me I tell you all what you need is to lose weight? Would you listen to me? I said, no, but you can try. Can you sell it better? He said, no, you don't have any problem. This is your problem. And he explained to me how the body works, and he was very good to me. Then he introduced me to one of the most famous guys from Michigan as a heart surgeon who teach me all about it. And then after I did a diet and all this and that, I find myself giving lecture with the Chinese doctor, with the heart doctor, with the chiropractor. It was a list of all the doctors because there's a thank you to all of them who helped me so much. Why am I telling you this? The problem that you appear to your eyes is not your problem. It's the problem that you can't see. That's a very dangerous problem. Dangerous, the most dangerous. When problems start happening in your life, it's not the problem. It's the problem to kick out the original one. And you have to open your eyes or get a good teacher to tell you, hey, the reason you go to that, but you have to be open, is not because of that. It's because of different reasons. But, you know, if you have ego, usually you have the answer for everything, so nobody can teach you anything. So what are you going to do? You're not going to listen. So the reason I was so excited about Memtet, about this section, that there is a war between the disease you know you have to the disease you don't know. The disease you see that you have come to kick out the one that you don't see. What do? You start hating the disease you see you have. All the problems you have in your life, what do you want to do? You want to get rid of them. What if I tell you that people who humiliated you are the one who give you the ticket, free ticket to go to the Garden of Eden? They are the one who, because of them, you're going to make it. You're almost like you need them. You have to beg them to stay in your life. Without them, you're dumb. You are doing nothing. Most people think, I will do enough spiritual work. You cannot do something equal to the people who insult you in public. Somebody insult you in public, you're clean. You clean all your negativity.
Did you actually thank them?
You are thanking God for sending them,
but,
you know?
But not necessarily speaking directly to them.
They are a messenger. They are just messenger, you know? If people tell you, idiot, why does it bother you? Are you idiot? No. So why does it bother you? Maybe inside you think you're an idiot. So that's why it bothers you. Otherwise, it shouldn't bother you. Somebody tell you you have a blue hair. Well, okay, blue hair, whatever. But somebody call you an idiot. Why would they speak to me like that? So all this thing with abuse or how people talk to us and all this and that is because internally we're not strong. Not strong. If somebody come and tell me, hey, what you did yesterday was wrong, I look in, make a point, it's true. Somebody called me an idiot, I said, you're absolutely right. The way I invest the money in the stock market today was terrible. I am an idiot. Today I am an idiot. And I shake their hand and say, wow, I told myself the same thing today. Let's drink a beer just for that. And I'm sure he will look at you like crazy, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, so just one more section. Let's read that. I know it's kind of late.
When a man is defiled and arouses the unclean spirit to rest upon him and the Holy One, blessed be he, he wants to purify the world. He arouses against him a spirit of stern judgment that remains in the world and rests upon that unclean spirit. They fight each other until he removes the unclean spirit from the world. That spirit of harsh judgment, of the plague that is caused to depart from the world, does not depart from the place until it is completely shattered, namely the body, the limbs, the bones, and everything. Only then is the world purified. The unclean spirits are removed and the world is in a state of cleanliness.
So when you go into the toughest time of your life, there is two reasons. One reason, it's what's written here, it's cleansing. Cleansing of your negativity. That's one reason. Not all the time it's cleansing. Sometimes it's because you did something so negative that you have to go through a tough time because you choose to go to a certain negative path. But when you go into a tough time, you have to look at all your life at that moment. What is positive thing that I don't do enough? And what is the negative thing that I do too much? a lot of time, you know, there is parents that the children go into a tough time. Until 19, when the kids go into a tough time, is a lesson for the parents. And it's very painful. Nothing is more painful. Nothing more painful than to see people you love go into a tough time. Nothing. Nothing is more painful. Because you love your kids unconditionally. And you can't do nothing for them. Nothing. And the idea is when the body is going through so much tough time, is only for one reason, say the Zohar in this week, Parasha, is to clean the real negative thing that you have internally. So, I don't know how many of you have people who speak behind your back about you, speaking bad about you, really bad. Thank God, Baruch Hashem. Wow, what a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful gift you have. A wonderful gift. Why? They clean the time that you spoke bad. Baruch Hashem, they're cleaning you. Thank God. So every time negative things happen, most probably it's from God. Every time positive things happen, not sure where it's come from. But negative things always come from a pure place. Because that's only to help you. But positive thing sometimes can come from a wrong place. I just want to end here to remind everybody. We are now in a period, the month of Iyar, that has to do with loving each other and speaking good about one another. And I teach a lecture this morning to New York, and they asked me about what's special about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that it's not the same for Moses, Abraham, Jacob. Why Rabbi Shimon? Why we celebrate only Rabbi Shimon? All over the world, by the way, we celebrate. Because Rabbi Shimon took it himself, become in charge of the redemption. When you study Kabbalah, like we did tonight, or Zohar, or Tikkun HaZohar, and you make sure other people study because of you, you're allowing Rabbi Shimon to interfere with your evil side. The bad news I need to tell you, to fight your negative side, you have no chance. You need to know that's the true news. You have no chance. I don't care who you are and what you are and how great you are. You have no chance. What's your chances? Zero, actually. Not 1%, zero. And if you make it, it's because the evil side wants you, let you feel you make it. So you have ego and then he gets you again. Even doing the positive things come from the evil side. So what's to do? What to do? The Talmud, I'm going back to the Talmud. It's written like this. Very important that you remember that. Bara yetzer hara, God created evil inclination. Bara lo Torah tavlin. He created Torah as a spice. Meaning the study itself of the Torah in general, of the spirituality in general, remove the evil and change the evil to be good. So what's this to do with Kabbalah and Zohar? When you study Zohar and Kabbalah specifically, that force by itself, give Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai the reins on your soul, and he guides you away from the evil. Because to fight the evil, we are not in that level. If you remember the story with Rabbi Shimon, when he fight the evil side, tremendous power. So the reason we celebrate the entire month of Iyar, Rabbi Shimon, because we want to let him go inside. Say, please take me as a project and get me out of my negativity. I want you to meditate about one person this week. One person that you know they have no chance ever to be connected to the light, connected to divine, connected to spirituality. No chance. No chance. But take that one person as a project to make them spiritual to you. But you have to think about one area in your life where you're stuck. And ask, make a deal with Rabbi Shimon this month, only this month. Say, Rabbi Shimon, I'm going to make a deal. I'm going to help that person that has never will have a chance to speak about spirituality. And as a gift, I want you to negotiate a deal with me to get this done. And you're allowed to do it, by the way, this month. Rabbi Shimon, please, in the name of the Zohar, in the name of Tikkun HaZohar, which was written in the cave, I want you to help me. And you will see miracle in this month. Miracle. But choose a tough case. Take a toughest case in your life, somebody you know very well, that they have no chance to be spiritual, and work on them nonstop. But don't have ego when they start changing. Understand that they're only changing because Rabbi Shimon now helping you. So your life become better. So please focus on that. Those of you who don't have Tikkuni HaZohar, please make sure you have it in your car, in your house. Spread it to your friend, to your synagogue, to different places. God bless you. God bless you at home. Love you very much. Thank you.